Good morning, afternoon, people. I'm Paul Muller. This is the Hour of Truth. I have Brad and Philip here with me.
Hey, y'all.
We'll be back in just a moment. We have contact. We are open for business. Oh, man, the Hour of Truth.
Live and on the air from the depths of the Big Ben.
Yes, well, I'll have to run this riffraff out of the studio.
All right, I found a clean spot. I'm happy.
All right, we're going to kind of rattle off, knock off from what we talked about during the service, and which we have talked about in other places over various studies in the last few weeks, and this idea of electing God, choosing. You know, God's big and powerful and everything, and He can constrain us to do His will.
He could.
But, you know, that's not the way He works. He wants us to choose Him, to elect Him as our Master, our
Amen.
Lord. By virtue of the fact that as the more knowledge we get, the more we learn of Him, the more we desire to serve and honor and please Him, which is...
And understand how merciful and loving and righteous He is.
And that's one of the things He sent His Son to show us.
Right.
How to do.
Now you look at...
Those who would receive Him.
Yeah, the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road, pre-elect, pre-ordained.
Yeah.
And yet the Lord said, you know, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And then He showed him the things he had to suffer. So even though Paul had already made his choice previously, he had to affirm that thing. And so you see the Lord, even with the pre-ordained, the greatest of the apostles, he still had a choice.
Right. That is true. And...
You got a choice too.
Yeah, the easy way or the hard way.
Heaven or hell. Well, I don't know, maybe you're preordained, I don't know. I think I'm not.
The easy way or the hard way. That's the only two ways I've ever known.
Anyhow, in either case, I mean, it is a choice. But, I mean, understanding, and as Paul was saying, you know, the knowledge of Him, the more we're going to knowledge Him, we start to understand how merciful and loving is, and you come to a place where you go, man, thank you, Lord, for still dealing with me.
Yeah.
You know, it comes to a place, man, I want you to be my God, because when I'm my own God, or I make the flesh my God, it sucks, it's miserable, but you have shown me kindness, love, and mercy.
The more the more you know how incapable in and of yourself you are of pleasing the Lord.
Amen.
You can't do it in the flesh.
Right.
You can't. This thing is at enmity with God. Enmity with God. It doesn't... There's nothing it can do to please Him. You can't paint it up, dress it up, make it something it's not. And... You know, there's so many scriptures that deal with the knowledge aspect of this. There's places in Peter, and there's places in Colossians, and others. There's places in Ephesians. I'm nailing down. They're all Paul's epistles, but
Jesus said, "Come to me, you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls."
Right.
Which is what we want, right? I mean, you're saying your way doesn't work. But he followed it with, take my yoke upon you and learn.
Right.
So, like Ricky always said, you know, Jesus is the way, His way is the way.
Well, the thing is, a yoke is a
slave.
Control device.
Yeah.
It is something that He's encouraging us to subject ourselves to by choice.
Submit.
Put my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light.
Yeah, and I had something that just kind of went away. But no, I mean, that is the case. And it's like, as he does, as you do that, as you submit unto him, because like you just said, you can't please him in this flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do nothing without him, is what the scripture says. But without me, you can do nothing. And you come to a place of making him Lord is a peaceful place, is an awesome place to be.
Because...
And it's him that works the love in you.
Because... The opposite is true, that in him, and when I'm about pleasing him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's him and his spirit and the inner man that works.
It's about
that does the
about
work.
Pleasing and Lord, bringing him glory and making him in the same way that he sought to please the Father, we seek to please him.
Amen. And he will give you that which you need to do that. I mean,
everything you need.
Everything you need.
Now, there's some things I want in the now. I want to be at peace. I want to be happy. I want to be successful. And he has promised me all that. The fork in the road for me, for all people, is our way of seeing things is not right. We don't see things as God sees them. You take that yoke on you, it's a yoke of service, but it's a light yoke. And you have peace because, look, there's things like I can't handle. I mean, talk about illness or huge bills to pay, that kind of thing. But I have a promise. If I follow his way, if I'll serve my employer as though she's Jesus Christ and other things, he's promised to take care of me. And I find he comes through every single time. Every time. I don't have to worry. I'm not saying I don't worry. But I should not. I don't have to worry. And he said, where's that? After he washed the disciples' feet, is that John 14?
Uh-huh.
Kicking that around. He's talking about serving each other. He said, if you know that you love me, and in the love for me, you'll serve your brothers and sisters.
Well, if you go to John.
Yeah, let's pull it up. He said, happy are you if you do these things.
Yeah, that's 13, I believe.
That's just been rattling around in my head the last couple of weeks since you pulled that up, Paul. I always wanted to be happy.
You got it coming up?
It's in here somewhere. Well, and I'm looking
at it. And you have, you know, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And that peace is no matter what's going on around you, financial situations, things heating up, whatever, that peace, you can have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done. And you know, you don't even have that fear of this thing of death. I mean, that has no more victory over you. You know, I've been reading the Pilgrim Stories, for an example.
Pilgrim Stories.
Okay, and it's about the Pilgrims going and settled. You know, half of those guys, you know, died when they went over there. They counted the cost of them going over there to settle, and you see the fruit of America and from what they have done and the freedom to worship the Lord. And they didn't care about their own lives. I mean, you know, there was a part where there was Governor Carver was working in the field, and look, you know, Squanto was sent, and I believe sent by the Lord to help the Pilgrims out survive after the Mayflower left. You had them planting these corns, and you had all these... You had them saying, okay, we need to catch all these herrings. We need to plant the corn in this field. They had to pull out weeds. They had to plant 20 acres of corn. Now, they were busting their tail to the point where Governor Carver's hands started hurting. He went and go lay down, and he went and lay down and died. And, you know, pretty much worked himself to death. But the whole thing about them, you know, I'm sure he went, and I don't know this, but he went to go be with the Father. It didn't matter what he came there to do. He went there and established. His time might have been up. It was time for him to go be with the Lord. He was an older one out of the group, you know, but it didn't matter. You see the fruit of that love. So no matter what, Lord meets us all the time. But just as, you know, have you the same mind as Christ, you know, his mind was what he sent to do was to go down there and lay down his life so that we can have eternal life. And the sense of that's the same kind of mindset we have. I mean, where we talk about if you hate not your brother, your sister, your father, yea, in your own life also, you cannot be my disciple. I mean, that's the place where we need to be at. And that's actually the peaceful place because it's all about the Lord and his way. And no matter what comes your way, you can have peace with God. Even when Stephen was stoned, So I'm not saying I'm there, but I know this is the truth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that is what the Lord is working out of us if we will let Him, if we will submit unto Him, and if we make Him Lord now, and the choices that we are making now.
Right. And, you know, in so many ways, our pattern, we had to be shown how to do this. Because it doesn't come natural to us. Our default position is selfishness. Our default position is pride. Our and arrogance and presumptiveness. And I blew that word all to pieces. Presumptiveness, presumption. We have this the same way that Jesus yielded to the Father, and not my way, Lord, but thine. Not my will, Lord, but thine. I speak only that which the Father has given me to speak, and I do only that which the Father has given me to do. I must be about the Father's business, he says. And we must be about his business.
Amen. Amen.
Well, and you look at people that have literally laid down their lives. I don't think Governor Carver came to that point on day one. He'd made a series of choices, you know, through probably the decades that preceded it. He chose Christ. He chose to love the brothers. Chose Christ, loved the brothers.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, as he made that choice, I don't think none of them expected it maybe to go that way.
It's kind of hard to believe you're actually fixing it.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, but they knew, they counted the cost and they went. They might have not even realized how big the cost was. But as they got into it, they started counting the cost even more and they started going forward. Them guys didn't give up, man. And I thank God that they didn't give up. Yes. Because at some point, this America was all about the Lord.
That's right.
Because of the fruit of their sacrifice that they made and the choices they made.
We're
part of that fruit.
We heard the gospel preached clearly and not under great persecution because those guys came over here and I think half of them died the first winter, as I recall.
Yes, they did.
It was horrible.
Verily, 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 I say unto you, boy, I could, two, three syllable words, the same word twice.
But you're from here. It's okay.
Verily, verily.
14:12, Paul?
13:15.
13:15, okay.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. In other words, I'm not greater than the Father. Who's
no.
Me. You're not greater than me. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And what he's bouncing this out of is where he's washed the disciples' feet.
Right.
Which he who spoke that which is into existence became a servant of those who are his disciples.
Yeah.
Those who he is discipling into his service in the kingdom. And really, that's, you know, he would seek to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Let him be the servant of all.
Which is completely opposite how the world works.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we were talking, Phil, about us being an outgrowth of the sacrifice of people who went before us. And the whole idea of a servant leader, I think, is, you know, you still see it. I work in the auto industry, and you still see it there, where the managers, at least, have some understanding. You might have individuals that don't follow it, but the idea of the guy on the top actually serves the guy in the field, the guy on the bottom is still alive and well.
That is,
you've worked in different places than I have.
Well, the point should be, I mean, look, the managers are held accountable here,
right?
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I look as my job, I'm a manager and about to step up even to a bigger management role. And but, I mean, the point is there for me is to organize that team, put a structure together, keep things off their back so they can work efficiently, and in a timely manner that it serves the customer. That is my job. But it also serves them to where they're not running around with a chicken with their heads cut off, that it's an organized structure and working as a team. And to bring these things, get these things off their backs and the burdens that they think they're in, and make it as easy and simple as possible for them to fulfill their duty.
So, and
that's a service to them.
The kind of places I do business with and have worked with, you were dumb enough to come in here, so you get what you get. Kind of thing. Yeah, you were dumb enough to agree to work here. You get what you get.
Yeah, but,
your structure is not that way. You actually have.
Well, I'm trying to make it not
something
that way.
Something you can actually prosper in the Lord in doing the way He would have you do it, and they let you. So, you know, it's a grace to them. But
if everybody's doing this, I mean, and let's just use a business because it's kind of easy to see. The ultimate goal is that the customer's happy. But that has to be the case because you have to have the customer for the business to be profitable. So you all serve the customer. That means that you, Phil, are serving David, the owner?
I'm serving a number of fellows.
A number of fellows that own the organization.
Right.
So you serve them, but how does that work? The way you serve them is you listen to the customers, you listen to the men and women getting the job done on the floor, and you make sure that the guys doing the work have what they need. So in that sense, in order to serve the man above you, you also serve the man below you. In the church, you guys, because you're ordained and I'm not, you serve me by being attentive to what I need, bringing me whatever that is, correction, encouragement, maybe some money, I don't know. It works. I mean, it's totally backwards to how the world thinks, but it's clearly the better way. You can hop in there, Paul.
Yeah.
Even to the point of bringing accountability.
That's a grace.
That is a grace. Bringing accountability, bringing something to the light. Letting God's light shine on that and speaking the truth in the thing.
Yeah, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, for you to come to me and say, I love it when Paul did this. Shows up at medical unit. Yeah, they told me to let you know that if you died, you're going to hell. Well, I have to go.
What?
What? How about a little more?
A little more detail of that.
That was grace, right? That was grace. That was another fork in my road. It was a good thing. And I know you didn't want to do that. It was pretty obvious because you didn't stay. I'm serious. Not a minute passed when you told me that. Out.
Yeah, John. Chew on this. We visited a little bit before that. I mean, it wasn't just I walked in there and you're going to hell. And I didn't turn around and walk out. It was a little bit longer than that. But
no, not in my mind. That's pretty much how it went.
Well, that's because that was pretty much the substance of the visit, the purpose of the visit.
But
so.
the point being, even though it was a hard word, and a word you knew I didn't want to hear, it was grace. And in that sense, you were serving the Lord and you were doing great service to me.
Yeah. It was,
because you care about me, because you love the Lord.
It was a grace to you.
And thanks, man. I don't know if I ever said thanks for coming down that day, but there it is.
It's not all about you, Brad. I think I've fished all I need out of this. I'm going to go back to where I was. I wasn't on 14.
No, you were in 13. I thought we were going to 14.
Were we? Management by crisis.
No, we were talking about washing feet.
That was in 13.
They moved it?
Yeah.
You doggone new translation.
This is more. Somebody ought to be talking because.
Well, I was standing there after the service over by the cars and everybody was just kind of hanging out. One of the sisters came up and was asking me about serving the Lord out in the moment, is what I was saying. And how do you know? She talked about a fellow in a hunting club who's got serious life threatening health issues and she felt like she needed to talk to him and didn't really know how to go about it. I said, well, you know the word. called to preach the gospel as you go preach. So just put the radar up and wait for the Lord to open the door. I don't think you really have to go and necessarily tap somebody on the shoulder unless the Lord told you to. I was thinking maybe that'd be something worth asking you guys about. And I think it comes up for everybody.
Do what now?
13:2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Jesus Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth up from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. This is John 13.
Yes, foot washing.
So, after that he poureth water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, doest thou wash my feet? Dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. In other words, you're going to be doing this. You're going to be learning what being a servant is.
Yeah, and you know, there's two points here. Yeah, you're going to learn how to minister. And there's really two things. One, the example that Jesus is showing them of him actually washing the feet. Well, and then the other is, why is he washing their feet? Because the world is dirty, and that's what touches the world is your feet.
Yeah.
And so, and it's cursed. Sorry, thank you. And that's why he's washing the feet. So in the same sense as being a minister, washing another person's feet is washing the curse off them, being sanctified in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And that's part of ministry of giving out the truth to the people.
And from Ephesians,
and
his blood is the cleansing agent.
Right.
It's
absolutely
not the water we're using.
Right.
Right.
Well, I was going to go to Ephesians, the washing of the water of the Word.
Right. Yeah.
If you're going to be ready when the moment arises, you need to have already understood the Word. You need to have already been in prayer.
And the Word became flesh.
And then you also, I mean, this also kind of this goes in baptism as well.
Yeah.
Where he says, you know, not my feet only, but my, then if, you know, if I, here, I'll read it a little bit. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.
Douse me, man.
Yeah, I want all part of you.
I want it all, yeah.
And what do we are when we're baptized? We're submerged under water. Fully baptized. And the example of dying to that old man, resurrecting a new man in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Peter here is trying with all he can to say, all right, Lord, I'm choosing you. I'm choosing your way. Because, you know, I'm a total and complete screw-up, and I need you.
Yep.
I need you. Where would we go?
Right. Does this offend you too? Yeah, but where are we going to go?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times does this offend you, Phil? Yeah, this offends me.
Yeah.
But where else am I going to go?
Yep.
Where else am I going to go? And I think we've all hit that crossroad.
Where else am I going to have my posterior handed to me on a platter?
That's where it went.
Yeah. It's got to be on somebody's platter. It's not here. I wouldn't want it on a platter, but there you go. I digress.
A bit.
So, this is... This is probably ought to be whereupon I go back to where I was.
Which was where?
I was in Colossians.
Sweet. You were going three or two? Or?
Let's see. I don't know, so much good stuff in here.
Yeah, that's a Reader's Digest version of the gospel right there. Four chapters.
Jeez.
Yeah, I read chapter 2.
Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead.
You know what caught me in that passage is the word of, the faith of the operation, not faith in it.
Right. The operation of God is what you have faith in. You have the operation of God, the operation of what it takes to save us and disciple us and bring us into the kingdom. Because on our own, we're never going to even, we won't know it when it, when it's standing next to us. When we're standing next to it, we won't, we
can't see it.
You can't see it, don't know it.
Not born again yet, can't see it.
When you said the operation of God, of what it took, you know, I mean, what did that operation take?
The operation raised Jesus from the dead.
Absolutely. And that operation was Him fulfilling all that, though. I mean, for Him walking in the perfect obedience of Christ.
You go to those Catholic churches and He's still on the cross.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know, man. My Savior's not still on the cross. He's not in the tomb anymore.
Right. But you take,
He's on the right hand of God.
The operation it took was Him fulfilling all that. Dying on the cross.
That's right.
Then resurrected. I mean, it's the whole. The operation is the whole thing of what it took.
Right.
For us to get it right with Him.
Right.
And it's all about what He has done in His
righteousness. God is faithful.
And what He's clothed with Him.
That's what works.
It does work.
And it's, you know, I don't mean to misapply the word faith there. Faith, God is faithful, and it's a faithful operation of God, and it is God's faith, and that not of ourselves. Even that came from God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that in Romans or is that in Galatians or Ephesians?
Yep, one of them.
One of them. It's in one of them.
I don't know.
We're masters of the written word.
And you're talking about His. You're talking about His faithfulness there, and you know it still brings me back to Jesus' faithfulness to the Father as He walked.
Absolutely.
And it's his cloak that He gives us. It's His
by
wedding
his
garment that He gives
subjection,
us.
Subjection. By His...
Not on what we've done.
By His electing the preeminence and priority of God the Father. He became part of the operation of God. And we... Our faith is based in Him and what He did perfectly in the operation, as part of the operation of God.
Amen.
And if we will yield to Him as Master and serve Him, find out what it takes to please Him and do it, we become part of the operation of God. And the operation of God becomes faithful to somebody else. A practical... fruit-bearing, positive force for those who will yield to it, who will receive it and yield to it. Boy, that was an awful long sentence.
And she, in 12, you know, you're risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him, Christ, from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. And that's that kinsman's cloak you're talking about. It's not that you're seen to be righteous. You are righteous in the eyes of God.
It becomes not only who's going to lay a charge against my chosen, but who's going to lay a charge against you that can stick?
Nobody.
Nobody.
You know, we talk about this, the baptism of water, and you know, you make that, it's that choice that you were talking about, making Him Lord and Master.
Yeah.
And it's that choice. We can be baptized once, but do we make that choice every day to be baptized? I mean, in the sense of cutting yourself off from the dead man to do His will.
To put on the mind of Christ every day.
Yeah. And
that, and you know, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh.
Yeah, that's 2:13.
Hath he quickened together with him. You're dead, but he's joined you with him, and he's given you life.
Amen.
That's what the quickening is.
Amen. He's given you himself, and he is the life.
Having forgiven you all trespasses.
Everything you did. Everything.
Or having forgiven you all trespasses. Maybe he was from south of the border.
No.
What you have there, too, in that operation of you being dead, that means, look, I mean, I look at this as like the dying to the flesh. I mean, that means so that he can give you life, where he talks about before the corn of wheat, when the corn of wheat falls in the ground, it must die before it bring forth fruit. It's that means, and you know, where we have that example of, unless you hate your own life also, you cannot be my disciple. Is for him to give you that life is for you to put off your own, put off the flesh.
Yes. You choose not to take care of yourself. You choose to take care of him.
Yeah, you choose to do his will. And that's putting off all that stuff. Then it's like, I'm going to meet you here, buddy. This is where I'm going to meet you, because you put it off, and now I'm going to give you the true life.
Right. And I've made total provision for you to be able to do everything I want you to do.
Right. And I have forgiven you all things, so none of that has hold on you. And then it comes up to here, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. It has more dominion over you. None of this can't stick. It's gone. It's washed away. He took it.
Yeah, the handwriting.
Go ahead. And those are the things that were against you, the trespasses that you made against Christ, against God. You know, where, you know, you go to David where he says, you know, against thee and thee only have I sinned.
Right.
You know, and, you know, the next verse is
interesting.
The next verse is interesting, and it's here's what it says. Blotting out the hand. Oh, next verse, sorry. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. What he's saying here is he spoiled their plans. He spoiled their operation. Their operation was based in the here and on earth, and the principalities and powers that are Satan's,
and that are over us in the flesh,
and they were for your destruction,
right? And then that were over you in the flesh, but that has no more dominion. So even your shortcomings can't hold you from completing what God has.
And he showed you and them openly that they have lost their ability to stick to you. Amen. Their control over you and your destruction. He's made he showed you and them the triumph over them.
Amen. And you know, that's the thing you're going to rejoice in. I mean, because what is our biggest thing? It's our shortcomings, our faults, all these things. You got two things working here. You got verse 14 where it says, okay, all those things that was against you washed away. And now, not just that, all those shortcomings and all those fears that you can't do this, you can't do that, or whatever it may be, whatever the shortcomings, I have triumphed over them. So even that can't hold you down from completing what I have for you. And it's a win-win there. Just lay it down.
I'm going to have to copyright that phrase.
It's a win-win. Just lay down that old dead man.
Yeah.
That's what he's asking you. Lay down. Choose me as your Lord. Lay down that old man. It's a win-win. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, regardless how much I'm an idiot, regardless how intelligent I am, no matter what my shortcomings are. I don't hold anything against you. It's good. The Lord's good. I get a little animated here, guys. Sorry.
And the handwriting of ordinances that was against us.
And the good stuff that comes after that, we're not going to get into this, at this point. Well, because they're good things, but when you're not into bondage, you don't serve the principalities and powers. You're not a participant in a religion. You're working on a relationship with Jesus. You're being part of his body. So if you're part of his body, then all the rest of this stuff that he goes through here listing, none of this stuff matters to you. This stuff doesn't control you. they, you know, maybe we should go into that. I don't know.
He's talking about the hand, 214, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Those ordinances, that was the law.
Yeah.
And we're given a new and living law, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And that means that, like, I've had a guy I've known for a long time at work.
Well, the concept of what I said here was about this doesn't stick. It won't stick to you who are operating in faith. But the law, if you're in bondage to the law, then you don't have. You still have the handwriting of ordinances.
But now I threw the law, I'm dead to the law, is what the Apostle Paul said. Because Christ fulfilled the law.
Right.
And now we have a new and living way. Not that the law was ever meant to do anything more than show you that you needed grace.
Right.
So now you are walking in that freedom.
Let no man judge you in meat or drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ.
Yeah, the law is fulfilled. You don't have to keep all that stuff.
You're part of the body. And the body is Christ's. So let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility, in worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Yeah, you got grace and you believe. Now it's time for you to get spiritual by showing me how good you are at following this.
Oh yeah, don't cuss.
That's right.
Don't drink.
Don't smoke.
No long hair.
Yeah. Come to church shaved and bathed and in your three-piece suit.
Well dressed.
Yeah. Women, you got to have long hair and dresses below the knees. I mean,
I don't like it that way, but you know.
That's pretty much where this is coming from. Vainly, emptily, puffed up by the fleshly mind, because these things look good.
Right.
There's stuff we can weigh and measure.
And you know what's what gets me
your spirituality.
What I think of is when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and he's talking about washing the outside of the cup and platter.
Yeah.
You know, and these things that you do, but you don't look at the inward part. Your inward part full of ravening wolves.
All these things
ravening wolves.
Done.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you wash the outside of the cup and platter. The inward part is your ravening wolves is what you guys are.
Yeah.
Is what he testifies against them and tells them the truth in the matter.
In Galatians, he said, having begun in the spirit, are you now perfected by the flesh? He that works miracles among you does it by the works of the law? No, he does it through faith. So all that stuff you could do or stop? No. It's all rooted in love. I'm not going to go hit on your wife. Because I wouldn't want you hitting off my wife. I mean, it's love. I mean, it is true that if you're following the Spirit, it will look somewhat like the law, because the law is a declaration of God's heart. But you're not bound to that law, including the Ten Commandments, as a path to righteousness. It's by faith. We're free, man.
Well, you talk of that law. That I mean, that love you're talking about. You know, I can go. I mean, you go into further in that. I mean, greater in love no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, that's the love. I mean, that is the preference.
That's the weightier matter of the law. Love, justice, mercy. The weightier matters. Not short hair. Don't smoke a Marlboro. None of that. All that stuff went by the wayside.
You can have... You can not like it when people smoke, but that doesn't mean it's unspiritual to them. Doesn't mean they're separated from God. It means you don't like it.
And it may be that you've been convicted not to do something.
And maybe you shouldn't.
It's fine for me. And likewise, you may be doing things that I can't do, but I don't need to be judging you because you have the faith to do so.
Absolutely.
Let no man judge you in meat, drink, or respect of the holy day.
It's not a faith. It's sin.
And, you know, we could very easily jump to James in this. as what you were just talking about.
James,
but it really gives them James, gives the
where he talks about what you judges the law. I mean, who are you?
Oh,
I mean, you judge your brother. You judges the law. I mean, who are you? Are you the lawgiver? You know, when it goes in that, I'd have to read it and get more clarity at this point. But I know it's in there.
The next verse, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increased with the increase of God. Now that's a that's just a hard way of saying that because the saint's still part of the previous verse.
Right, and puffed up by his fleshly
puffed up
mind.
By his fleshly and mind, not holding the head.
Which is Christ.
Which all the rest of the body ministers to. Brings all the nutrients and all the joints operate, all the sinew and stuff ties all the joints together. And,
and you know, where it says...
The body, therefore, the head and the body increase with the increase of God. In other words, you get the knowledge.
Right, and the reason why I believe it's followed up here, and correct me if I'm wrong, Paul, where it says, in not holding the head is Jesus Christ.
Right.
Okay, and not holding the head, so what they're saying, that sacrifice on that cross is not good enough, you still have to pretty yourself up.
Right.
And that's the one that nourishes the rest of the body. And so they're not even holding the head up as the head and what he has done. They're not taking upon that righteousness that he has fulfilled.
Right.
They're rejecting that cloak.
You need Jesus and you need...
Right. It's not the gospel.
It's not the gospel.
And they're rejecting it. Because it's... Right.
Very common.
Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. And that's exactly what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
That, you know, I don't know if anything could be any clearer than that, but...
And my buddy at work came up, he's looking at becoming a deacon in a Baptist church, and they gave him a questionnaire to fill out. The last question was, do you listen to rock and roll? Well, the guy's about 60. I mean, he grew up, of course he likes rock and roll. And all this, it's the same thing, you know, touch not, taste not, handle not. Who cares? Who cares?
He's not beholding the head.
I know a guy that, because he had a few beers at home, every once in a while could become a deacon at a church. Because it's just this, they're trying to dress up their deacons in this fleshly looking, this trying to make a show of looking good.
Which things have a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. This stuff...
It looks good.
Looks good.
And for some people, I mean, if the Lord came down and said, you know what, you need to not do this...
It feeds pride, though.
That's right.
And what are we just reading in James... And James,
resist the proud and give the grace to the humble.
So why would you be trying to do this?
Pride.
What they're saying, Paul, and it goes back to not holding the head, what they're saying is, oh, well, your sacrifice isn't sufficient.
The head humbled himself unto death. And it wasn't just a regular death, it was a cross death.
Gruesome.
It was a humiliation of a thief, of a murderer, of a scoundrel. He hung with criminals.
Neck beat.
Scourged. Meat ripped from his bone.
And he was not guilty. And one of the thieves next to him figured that out. This is so good. I love Colossians.
I'm with you.
Do you want to keep going on, Paul, down to chapter 3?
Yeah. because the first couple of verses of chapter 3 are good stuff.
And it kind of runs into the last chapter there. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And I look at that, as well as, you know, we were singing Thursday, and as I look at that, set your affections on things that are above. Those things that are above are in His Word, and those things that are above is, not my will be done, but yours, Lord. What would you have me to do today?
And if you do that, you'll have peace. I say this is just such a typical thing in the South, man. Don't listen to rock and roll, don't smoke, for so many of the Calvinistic-based churches. But, you know, it talks about gluttony. How many? It's very common. Your evangelist comes.
How many of these judges of your behavior and everybody else's behavior, because they can weigh and measure it, how many of them have families that honor God? Are their children godly, or are they rebellious? Is their wife godly, or is she rebellious? I mean, you know.
You met the first ordinances of taking a point of leadership in the church, is really what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
And the answer often is no. And, you know, if I've got my affections set on things above, I am not very likely going to be acquiring a tremendous amount of physical wealth. There's so much need in the body around you. How could I amass a huge fortune and let our brothers and sisters do without?
Yeah, it says, if you be then risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Those things that are above was the love of Christ. Was Christ, you know, you make the, I mean, what Paul was talking about this morning, where you humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. You know, that's that scripture comes to mind, because it's God that does it. If you need aid here, or that, it's God that does these things, and it's not you. All you're about is to seeking to do what He would have you do. And putting off that dead man and listening to Him. And when it comes down to where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, that's where Christ's sitting, right on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, not on your things of, okay, like Paul was saying, and He shall lift you up. One of those things is not getting about where you might need to be glorified in a situation or brought up in a situation. Let God do that. Don't worry about it. You know, I mean, you talk about, you can say, even set your, on financials or whatever the things is on this earth that are the principalities and powers or the things that ring you up or hold you up. I mean, those things, it doesn't matter. You're seeking to please the Lord. You're seeking to know the Lord. And to fulfill that commandment, love God, love one another. That isn't the most important thing to you. Then that's it. Don't set your affections on all these worries and all these things here down here on the earth. It's
verse,
not
verse
worth,
three,
anything.
Verse,
worth anything.
Chapter 3, verse 1 is essentially... What is it? It's rewritten. Paul has kind of done a reforming of seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and
yeah.
Let and all these things will be added unto you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really what we're talking about here.
Right.
Set your affections on things above and not things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. If you be His, you're dead, and your life is hid in Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Your only existence is in Him.
Absolutely.
This stuff here is not me.
And quite frankly, when we look down to the bare minimum, you know, kind of going back to blotting out the handwriting of ordinances against us, you know, I think about that because my life, and I even look at my past life, I go, oh, that's ugly. It's a lot better when you put on Jesus. Now, Jesus is my life. Look, praise God, because I don't want my own life. It sucked.
You spent every minute before BC, before Christ, you spent every minute trying to destroy that life.
Yeah, because it sucked so bad. I hated it. Anything
right.
That makes me feel better about it, or try to kill it slowly. Because I didn't know why we were here. What's the point of all this anguish and hatred and all this stuff that goes down without Christ? I mean, I don't know about you, man, but when I lived it.
See,
rough.
You were doing verse 5, but without doing the first 4. Verse 5, mortify your members which are on the earth.
Right, I mean, I'm...
But not before you're ready to go.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an order to these things.
I mean, because all I seen was drama, hate, people dying, drug addiction. I mean, I should say demonic addiction, right. Oppression.
Yeah.
Demonically, what do you call it, possessed. I mean, all these things, I'm going, this ain't really, what's the point? This sucks.
No.
But now, I have Jesus, and He's my life, and it's a far better way.
And you're hid with Christ and God.
Amen. And all those things that were done before,
and
gone.
Christ is your life. And when He shall appear, then you shall also appear with Him in glory. Sweet. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And what do they seek? They seek inordinate affections, uncleanness, fornication. Well, I started right in the middle of that second verse. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetous, all of which is idolatry.
And you know that there's an action word in the beginning of that verse, Paul. It says mortify.
Yeah. That's something
that's,
you choose to do.
That's right? Something I choose to do.
Yeah.
Right. And He's given me everything I need to choose that. But it's really, like we said, we have free will. We can choose to do that or not.
Mortify your members which are on the earth, which are idolatrous. That's and everything else is a description of idolatry.
And so if you take the weightier matters of law, love, mercy, and you flesh that out, that's how you know. I mean, that's the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Right.
So I'm not going to seek fornication in these things because I wouldn't want somebody to do that to me or the people I'm caring about.
For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And that you were.
Yeah. Yes, I was.
And you were in the which y'all walked some time when you lived in them. You didn't walk in them, you ran in them. I know I did too. But the things that you're pursuing, that you thought you always wanted, the more you got, the less you were satisfied, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And diminishing returns.
And the more it killed you, the more it sought your life. And here, rather than giving up your life for drugs, you're giving up your life for Jesus. And then Jesus is a lot better to you than drugs were.
By far.
But now you put off all these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth.
And that's addressed to the believers.
Yeah.
He's saying now you're past the things that would have literally cast you into the fiery pit. But now that you're walking in Christ, this is the path to perfection, to happiness. You know, if you allow yourself to walk around angry or you have malice towards somebody. All these things have a way of coming back on you, too.
What? All right, anger, we know. Wrath is the emotion, the action that anger brings forth. Wrath is doing unto others before they do unto you, because you're mad. Because you're mad at them.
Yep. Malice is evil intent.
That's right. Blasphemy.
Blasphemy could be, outright saying Jesus isn't God, but it could be to say that some correct doctrine is incorrect.
Blasphemy could be anything that blasphemes the truth. Couldn't it?
Blasphemy is, there's many ways. There's many ways of, you can do your Buddhism thing, and you can do your...
many ways to God.
Many ways to God.
That would be blasphemy.
For me, I don't need churches or organized religion. I can just
sit
here with my joint. My Cheetos.
Don't knock Cheetos.
And it goes on. It tells you what sort of filthy communications.
Filthy communication, would that be like the seven dirty words I can't say on television?
No, it's the next verse. Lie not to one another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man.
Well, how do I lie to you? I'm asking.
Looking good. Well, you don't ever say that, but...
Nor would I.
You're a man pleaser, by seeking to please a person rather than by trying to do things that bring you glory rather than getting Jesus' glory. By telling you something is all right when it ain't.
Or maybe just trying to smooth out my own road.
Trying to make yourself look good.
Comfortable where you're at.
Palatable to the people I'm around.
I think we've all done this. And you know the truth about a situation where it's telling you to do the truth and tell somebody about the truth. He says, lie not one another. I've done this in the sense of, I don't want no bad relationship here, so let me just, sugarcoat things.
Filthy communication is really corrupting the truth. And it's just, Jesus and this... God gave me word. He said I should quit smoking, so smoking's unclean, so y'all shouldn't do it. That kind of thing. I think we've definitely come to the end of the hour, so we may not be done with this subject, but we are done with the time. So
God bless y'all.
God bless everybody.
Well, God bless everybody. We'll see you next week. From Brad and Phil, this is Paul Muller. God bless everybody. Have a great week.